Good morning, 8:13, Galesburg's Morning News. Todd Aridith, Tyler Gumb, Nick Hischer, thanks for being with us here this morning. Well, some things that sometimes we don't know everything that's going on in the world. Well, I don't know most things that are going on in the world, just saying. But legislation pending in Washington, D.C. that could be a problem. And that includes for all of us, because at any time you might need the services of an air ambulance, the helicopters that fly. And joining us to talk more about it this morning, Joe Griggle is the Vice President of Base Operations for Air Evac Life Team. Joe, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for checking in with us here this morning. Now, just a little bit about your background. You are an EMT and also a former flight medic, so you have worked in this industry for how long?
I'm on my 27th year in EMS. Started on a ground ambulance, transitioned to the helicopter in 2004 as a full-time, and then into my current position now. So just over 25 years in the EMS industry.
So you've been doing it for a little while then, so you have a pretty good insight to what's going on. And just for some people that don't necessarily know all the functions of what the air ambulance does, what kind of talk about the services that they provide?
Yeah, so really what we like to do is say the air ambulance is a link in the chain to healthcare for rural America. And so areas where they don't have all the services that you would traditionally see in a large city, a level one trauma center, a stroke center, a cardiac center, what the air ambulance does is provides a faster mode of transportation from rural America to get to that tertiary care facility. You know, we have, the cardiac monitors, we have the ventilators, the IV pumps all on board the aircraft to make sure that we can take care of the patient. We like to call it a flying ER as we're going to that, the definitive care.
Well, I guess for rural areas like us, it's even more important because there might be some sort of care that you need that's not available here that you may need to go to Peoria or to Iowa City or whatever the case may be. So thus, it's even more important for rural areas to have this service available.
Yeah, absolutely. What we like to say is just because you live in rural America doesn't mean you should have second-class health care. It's a choice that we all make on where we live, and because we live in rural America, you know, I think at the end of the day, the hospital systems or the health system simply can't afford to keep a trauma surgeon there, to keep the cardiac surgeon there or the brain surgeon there. And that's where the helicopter plays a vital role in those folks living in rural America having the access to those who live in the larger urban areas.
Joe Griggle joining us here this morning. He's Vice President of Base Operations with Air Evac Air Evac EMS, one of the big things we want to talk about this morning, there's some legislation pending in Washington, D.C., and obviously if we're not involved in what you're involved in, we wouldn't know about this, and sometimes there's stuff out there, a lot of stuff that projects somewhere that we don't know anything about. So what exactly is going on? What's Congress talking about right now? It sounds like it has something to do with the billing of your services, is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think what Congress is calling it is surprise billing. What we're saying is it's not surprise billing, it's surprise insurance denial. Generally, when you get a good or a service, you expect that you're going to get some sort of an invoice. If you go to the emergency room, you're going to get an invoice. If you take an ambulance ride, you're going to get an invoice. The same thing when you take a helicopter ride, you're going to get billed for the service. The only method of payment is when we transport a patient, and then we bill the insurance. I think the surprise comes is that the insurance has denied or grossly underpays, and then the patient is left with a balanced bill. And so really that's where this whole legislation is coming in, of the Congress saying, hey, look, we're going to take care of this balanced bill. And, you know, it's funny as politics go, we've been really fighting this since 2019, and we've been concerned and involved with the legislation that was introduced. It had the potential to be very detrimental to our air medical operations and the patient we serve. The current legislation would limit access to air medical for millions of rural patients. And basically what they're saying is there's really no reason for an insurance company to negotiate a fair and equitable rate for us. What we're saying is, hey, let's open our books and let's show our books to you, Congress. Insurance companies, you guys do the same. You know, last year, Congress enacted $352 billion in tax credits for healthcare insurers. The current surprise medical billing legislation, if enacted in its current state, would you do just the same? There would be really no reason for those insurance companies to negotiate a fair and equitable rate. And really what that does is if we don't have that source of funding or that source of income, then at the end of the day, we are such a high fixed cost business that there will be a lot of the rural areas in America, and this is an industry-wide problem. This isn't, you know, just a an Illinois problem or an Iowa problem or, you know, regionalized. This is an industry as a whole problem that could see closures of air ambulances in rural areas.
Yeah, not a good thing. And I guess I don't understand. They're calling it surprise billing. Why, as a patient, would you think you're not going to get charged for a service provided? As you said, again, the more the surprise is that your insurance didn't cover either the whole thing or a big chunk of it.
Right. Well, there are some companies that have negotiated what we would consider fair and equitable rates, and we've gone in-network with them. Really, it's a small percentage of patients that get this balance bill, and that's for insurance companies that have not negotiated in-network rates with us. And that's what we want. We want Congress just to say, hey, let's force us to the table, force us to negotiate a fair and equitable rate. You know, in Missouri a couple of years ago, there was a lot of discussion with Blue Cross, and the local politicians were able to get Blue Cross and us to the table to negotiate a rate. And that's what we're saying for the same thing. Don't enact something that's going to hurt the entire air medical industry, right? Help us find a common solution here where both the insurance company is going to still be able to maintain and survive, and then we can still maintain and survive our air medical services in rural America.
Talking with Joe Griggle, Vice President of Base Operations for Air Evac Life Team. When you've been in an accident, you're somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, and you need to get to a hospital for treatment. You're not sitting there thinking like, man, am I in network for this, or is my insurance going to pay for it? No, you just want to get the treatment, and that's what you guys want to do. You want to get there and provide the best treatment you can till you get them to where they need to go to.
Absolutely. You know, we don't know, nor do we ask, whether a patient has insurance, doesn't have insurance. If we're called, we come. We're never dispatched directly. It all has to come through, a third party, per se. And so the local ground EMS would call or the local hospital would call. We don't ask insurance information. We just come and we transport the patient. And you talked about in-network and whether they're in-network. You know, that's one thing that's different about the emergency medical services. You know, if a hospital goes in-network, that network or that insurance company has the ability to kind of force patients into that facility because that's where they're in-network and that's where they've negotiated their rates with. For an air ambulance, it's not that way. We obviously can't predict where these emergencies are going to happen. And so negotiating an in-network rate, there's no benefit or there's nothing that the insurance company can do that says, hey, you know, call here. It's about the closest, most appropriate air ambulance that's going to come and pick you up.
Well, I'm guessing it's getting to a point also, and especially in this day and age where, yes, a lot of smaller hospitals have been snatched up by bigger entities, and that's fine, but there's also some that are just closing down, and especially in smaller rural areas where your services then would be needed even more for just any type of care, let alone some type of emergency care that wasn't offered there. Well, now, in this particular area, now there's nothing offered. We got to get this patient somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. You know, 70% of the patients that we fly are generally paid by some type of government program, whether that's Medicare or Medicaid. That's pretty significant. Add your self-pays and, you know, you're close to 75% of total patients that are flown. I think we're seeing the same thing with your smaller rural hospitals where the payments that we're receiving from the government or the state programs aren't actually even paying for the cost of the services for that one flight. And so when you have, you know, 70-some percent that you're losing dollars on and you have a small percentage here that with these private insurance companies that you have to make up the difference. It, it is extremely difficult, and that's the healthcare challenge that we face today, and that's what these rural hospitals are fighting. You know, when a rural hospital does close, you have the local EMS, and then if you're fortunate enough to have an air ambulance, you still have that mode of transportation to get there in a you know, proper amount of time. If you take that air ambulance out of the chain and you take that hospital out of the chain, you're going to overtax your local EMS, that is going to make it extremely difficult for them to satisfy the needs of everyone.
How many, do you know, in particular in the state of Illinois, how many patients per year need the service of air ambulance?
I could tell you industry-wide, it's in the thousands of patients that are flown with multiple different air ambulance services in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, so it does, and yeah, there's so many. I mean, in our area, maybe not as bad, but you're still talking, you know, we're 45 minutes or 50-minute drive to either Peoria or the Quad Cities or even further to Iowa City or wherever else. So that, you know, that few minutes, and it's more than a few minutes going by air ambulance, can make a big difference in whether a person lives or dies.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things where just the experience that I've had, you know, I started on a rural ground ambulance in southern Missouri, and having the ability to call the helicopter and see the difference that helicopter made. And then as I transitioned my career to an urban ambulance setting, and then from the urban ambulance setting to a helicopter, I've seen time and time again the difference in the impact that mode of transportation and the time that was saved by putting that patient in a helicopter. And significant lives are saved every single year by the air medical industry, and the ability to get them to the appropriate facility in the right amount of time.
Joe Griggle, Vice President of Base Operations for Air Evac Life Team. Let's talk a little bit, to change gears, to the COVID-19 crisis, and how is that affecting your side of it one way or other, or what is it that your side of it is doing to help out in this pandemic?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. Certainly we're seeing an effect of it. We appreciate everyone adhering to the stay-at-home orders. Both Illinois and Missouri governors have issued the stay-at-home. We've seen a pretty significant decrease in volume, just in the need for services. If you think about the amount of people that are out and about, your vehicle accidents, a lot of our scene flights have greatly reduced. Probably 20-some percent that we've seen a downtick on. Medical flights, we're still out flying. We're still flying COVID patients right now. I think for us, it's just we're used to this. We're used to going and helping folks out. We take care of sick people all the time. We take care of people with infectious diseases all the time. I think the difference is that COVID-19 pandemic is new, and so it's about making sure that we arm all of our clinicians with the latest information. We make sure that they all have proper protective equipment. It was not uncommon for the N95 masks that so many people hear about. It was not uncommon for us to maybe use one N95 a year if you were lucky. To nowadays, what we're seeing is in a shift, if you fly three flights, you could go through three N95s in a single day. And so for us, just the cost of supplies have gone up. Everybody's trying to make sure that they have enough personal protective equipment. Obviously, the biggest asset that we have as an organization is our employees. And so our number one goal is to make sure we take care of them. And by taking care of them, make sure, you know, to us, that means they're in there. We have enough PPE for all of them. And so it's a supply and demand issue. All of your healthcare, all of your first responders are doing the same thing. They want the personal protective equipment. And there's only so much to go around, and so I wouldn't say that we're fighting for it all, but we're certainly making sure that we're doing everything that we can to get our hands on enough PPE to make sure our clinicians are safe as they transport these patients.
Joe Griggle from Air Evac Life Team joining us. Joe, talk about your transition in particular from working as an EMS and working in the urban ambulance, as you said, and going to the air ambulance. Had you ever ridden in a helicopter prior to that?
No, actually, I hadn't. I had seen a helicopter fly around quite a bit, but never really understood, never had been in a helicopter. I had probably flown in an airplane just a few times before I actually got in the helicopter. And once you get inside of there, it's really, as you start taking care of your patient, when you have a critical patient, you really don't understand your surroundings, per se, that you're in a helicopter. It's just like when you're in the back of the truck. You have a critical patient, you're worried about your patient, and you're worried about taking care of them and all the different procedures that you're doing. It was probably not until after my first flight that we were on the way back home from the hospital to our base that, you know, just able to sit in the helicopter and look around and say, wow, this is pretty neat. This is to realize that all of the obstacles that are on the ground, that we have zero obstacles here in the air. It's a straight line. You know, you get up in the air and away you go to the hospital. So it was a pretty neat experience.
Yeah, and I've never ridden one either, but as I understand it, talking to people have that the feeling, that especially takeoff, is so much different than an airplane. That so you were, as you were busy your first time with a patient, you didn't notice this. The helicopter went up, your stomach stayed on the ground then.
So the stomach stayed on the ground. I would definitely tell you on windier days, you certainly have the stomach effects as it bumps the aircraft around a little bit. But no, generally there's not a big rush as you take off. You know, the pilots generally do just a nice easy ascent, and as we're coming back down, it's a nice easy descent down as well.
Joe Griggle with us. He's the Vice President of Base Operations for Air Evac Life Team. Joe, let me ask, as the general public, what can we do to help with the situation, to contact our representative, or what can we do to help maybe push this thing along to help out with the situation?
Yeah, so if you go to globalmedicalresponse.net, or you can do G as in George, M as in Mary, R as in Robert, GMR.net, it'll take you to our parent company, Global Medical Response's homepage. There's a banner on the top of that page, and on the right side of that banner, it will say Protect Patients. If you click on that link that says Protect Patients, it'll give you a bunch of different, your listeners or anyone who's looking there, a bunch of information about what's going on with the legislation. There's also a link on there where you can click on, and it will allow you to contact your local representatives. It's just simply putting in your zip code in there. When you put your zip code in there, it'll auto-populate a letter if you want an auto-populated letter in there, or it'll give you a free text, and your listeners can text in a message to the politicians just to say, hey, we support the air ambulance industry, or whatever message they have for them.
All right. Well, Joe, want to thank you so much for taking some time with us here this morning, and best of luck. Stay healthy, all right?
Tom, thank you for your time, and, you know, certainly a unprecedented time in our country that we're living through right now, and just pray that all the listeners and everyone stay safe out there.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.